Welcome to the Gloucester Cast number 177. I'm joined by my friends Kim Smith.
Good morning.
Rick Dowsett.
Good morning.
And Donna Adazzoni from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Good morning, Gloucester.
I love that intro. We got a lot to talk about today. We got to do some tastings, some product things, and a lot of community stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to start right out. With a special guest today, Rick Dowsett. We just taped a homie cast a couple of days ago.
Yeah. So this is a little different. A
little different vibe.
Yeah.
A little different. Less whiskey and more and more community.
Hey, you guys get whiskey at the homie cast?
Yeah, it's all good. But we're here today to talk about really like more level stuff. And especially Pride Stride coming up this weekend?
Next weekend.
Next weekend.
Sunday, April 24th. It's the 29th annual Gloucester Pride Stride. It's Stageford Park is the start and ending area, and it's a 3-mile pledge walk to benefit local non-for-profit organizations. Like I said, been going on for 29 years. I've been involved probably for the past 19 years or so. And it's a great group of folks on the committee. We've got probably about 35, 40 organizations that are have already entered and said that they want to, you know, send walkers and that type of thing. But I think one of the things that's really beautiful about this event since its inception is that you don't have to be affiliated with an organization in order to walk. So if you want to, if you live in the Cape Ann community and you want to help organizations that make this a great place to live, you can get a pledge sheet at the website www.gloucesterpridestride.com. Or stop at the YMCA, Cape Ann Savings Bank, Bank Gloucester, the Library, Animal Aid, Chamber of Commerce, Santander Bank, Cape Ann Photography, can't leave anyone out, Cape Ann Lanes, Bank Gloucester, First Ipswich Bank, all those places. If you get a pledge sheet and you know, you, your family, get your friends to sponsor you, you can choose which of the organizations you want to support. So all the time, there's probably each year there's 300-400 walkers. We've got a big cookout for the community, moon bounce obstacle course. Pete Jackson, the musician, magician rather, comes up, does an amazing show. There's a little chowder taste off, clam chowder donated by Lobsterland Topside Grill and the Gloucester House. DJ Scotty Mack will be banging out tunes all day long. The citywide band will be there playing and the national anthem. And it's just we like to call it the unofficial kickoff of summer. And to date, we've raised $1.1 million back for the organizations here on Cape Ann.
A ton of positive energy.
It's a great, great day.
It's one of those things that makes you proud to be a resident.
Yeah, I think the whole family can come. The cookout, all that is free for participants. And if you're not able to participate, if you're catching this on your DVR on 11:30 at night on the 23rd, and you're like, I don't want to miss out, for $5 a person or a max of $20 a family donation, you can come up, get the wristband, and still participate. Have the cookout, the chowder, the pizza, the moon bounce popcorn, music the whole day.
$20 for a family is a no-brainer.
It's a bargain. Great bargain. Yeah. Registration starts at 10 o'clock. The walk kicks off at high noon. And it's just, I can't speak enough about it. It's a fantastic day, great event. And we've got new leadership at the helm. Dennis Acker and I have been co-presidents for a number of years. Ward 2 City Councilor Melissa Cox is now the president of Gloucester Pride Stride.
Nice.
And the committee is just fantastic. She's assembled a new wave of fresh blood to kind of bring it to the next level. And it's really exciting.
Just to finish it off, website is what?
www.gloucesterpridestride.com.
Not org.
.com.
Wow. Okay. Fantastic. Everybody come out, support that. It's a great time. Now we're going to talk about something that was totally new to me. There's a lot of CSAs and CSFs, community supported agriculture, community supported fishery. Now, I don't know if they call it a CSM, but it's we got a press release a couple weeks ago from these people in Rockport. Spring almond milk share being offered at Mayflower Confections in Rockport, Massachusetts. We're gonna try it right now. I'm gonna give you a little bit of the background. They source their, so they have different flavors. I'll go through the flavors here. They're gonna offer 6 weeks of organic pressed almond milk, being offered in April and May. The different flavors are sea salt and honey, which is what we have here, vanilla bean, lavender, pure matcha, and cocoa. I don't know, cacao or cocoa. I don't know if I'm saying it wrong. 1 week, 1 quart a week for 6 weeks is $80. 2 quarts a week for 6 weeks is $150. They source their honey from Ipswich, Tomten Bee Works, and their sea salt from Atlantic Salt Works in Gloucester, local companies. The almond milk is completely raw and contains about 30% almonds. Store-bought almond milk typically contains just 1 to 2%.
Wow.
So that's a huge jump. They press and bottle it on Mondays, and it is available for pickup at Mayflower Confections in Rockport on Tuesdays. Like the milkman, they take back the glass bottles each week for reuse.
That's great.
All right.
Where is the, did you give the address? Where is that located?
No, but we have a link, so people can check out the link. Yeah, it doesn't say it on here.
Yeah, I've never seen Mayflower.
This is the sea salt and honey organic pressed almond milk. And the website is nectarandgreen.com. There we go. Ingredients, almonds, purified water, raw honey, and sea salt.
Okay. It doesn't get any more pure than that.
No.
It really doesn't. All right, we're gonna go around. We're gonna
I
do
love
a
the bottle.
I never even knew this was a thing.
No so. High fructose.
That's right.
We got a high quality bottle here. Oh, it's a pop off.
Does it play?
See if I can do this without killing.
Don't lose your teeth.
Oh, God almighty. Oh, we got it. Not that difficult. Thick bottle. I want to keep the bottle.
Yeah.
And put flowers in it or something. All right.
But it does remind you of the, you know, when you have...
Oh, wow. The consistency...
It's like cream, isn't
it? It's like cream. It looks like cream. It's and you can, it's a like grayish color. You can tell that the almonds... serious concentration of almonds there.
Seriously smells like almonds.
All right, Donna. Donna is allergic to nuts, so she can't drink
it.
But Rick's gonna have some, and I'm gonna have some.
It smells really good. I wish I could have some.
Did you try it already, Kim?
You break my heart because you can't have nuts or shellfish.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Everybody go.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
That's outstanding.
Oh my goodness.
But the sea salt just adds that.
I feel so bad that you can't have this done.
I appreciate that.
It's really almond flavored.
You can smell
really
it.
You can, right? You can
probably,
yeah.
It smells yummy.
This is what
you,
when you, if there ever was a premium almond milk product, this is over the top right
it's
here.
It's so creamy.
I've been buying store-bought almond milk, Silk, and a couple other different brands probably for 2 years now.
Really?
And this is hands down
the best
superior.
Ever.
This is like, prime rib versus chuck.
Absolutely,
you know?
It really is.
It almost feels like you're having like an almond biscotti because there's like so much. You know,
I agree. Yeah. That's a great
but
description.
Sea salt must add just that.
I don't know if they give you the bag or not, but
sea salt, the honey.
The
I'm gonna have a little
honey.
Bit more.
It's
this is fantastic.
Honey,
and it's also like on cereal or whatever. Like you wouldn't need good sweet cereal. You put this on it's most bland
Kim,
cereal.
You good there?
I'm good.
You know, you put this on total or grape nuts, and it'd be
it'd be
like a dessert.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right. So
and
there
I
we
love
go.
The fact it's a reusable bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I know. So one more time, the website is. nectarandgreen.com. If you're interested in getting in on the shares, that is something new and interesting. I find that interesting. I don't know about you guys.
I'd say if you've never tried almond milk before, this is the one to try. This will make you a fan for life.
No doubt. No doubt.
I'm
there
jealous.
You go. So we got that.
I have to say we're so lucky to get to try all these things.
Well, they're smart. They contacted us, right? They says, "Oh, well, let me provide some for you to try." And this is what we do. We give them a nice plug on air and everything else. And I mean, in fairness, we wouldn't if it was terrible. We would we would not be as enthusiastic in our endorsement if it was terrible.
True.
Right.
What are the other flavors? You just run down the
I'll go down there. Sea salt and honey, which we tried. Vanilla bean, lavender, which sounds interesting.
That sounds great.
Pure. matcha, and cacao. Am I saying that right? C-A-C-A-O?
Yeah. Yeah. So if I order the 6 weeks, it can get, does it say if you get a variety, you have to order one for each week?
I think it's one a week, one quart a week for 6 weeks.
But the flavors, you can mix and match? Or
I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to add, we'll
go to the website and find out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go to the website. I'm sure they have more information.
Nectarandgreen.com.
So we are right now, we are in Blackburn Industrial Park. That's where K-Pan TV is. I should thank Eric Archer, Lisa Smith, the new cameraman, T, Jim Capillo, and Becky Tober. Yes. The staff, so far, they're here in this production right now. But there is a new company, a nonprofit, seeking to construct and operate a medical marijuana dispensary and cultivation facility in the Blackburn Industrial Park, and they will be holding an open house the evening of April 27th. Here's the press release. Please join us at the Tavern on the Harbor, 38 Western Avenue, Gloucester, for a community open house and informational meeting Wednesday, April 27th between 7 o'clock and 8:30 p.m. From the team... The team from Happy Valley Ventures Mass, Inc., a nonprofit company committed to building medical marijuana dispensaries to service patients as well as host communities, is set to hold a community open house and informational meeting to provide the residents of Gloucester a better idea as to what a medical marijuana dispensary is and what it isn't, and what one operating out of Blackburn Industrial Park could mean for Gloucester. Happy Valley Ventures intends to apply to construct and operate a registered marijuana dispensary at 38 Great Republic Drive in Blackburn Industrial Park. The development will utilize Cape Ann area suppliers, contractors, and service providers to complete the project. Upon completion, the RMD will also produce numerous jobs for the local residents. Please join us anytime between 7 and 8:30 p.m. on April 27, 2016 for a community open house that will include the following. Overview of Happy Valley Ventures Mass. Explanation of the plan to ensure safety and security of the facility. Explanation of the plan to become a dedicated member of the community. Overview of the Commonwealth's medical marijuana program. Overview of the patient benefits afforded by a registered dispensary. I guess the one question that... That I have is, how is it this Happy Valley Ventures Mass Inc. a nonprofit? I mean, I'm not against it or for it or anything, but how is it if they're building it a nonprofit? Is that like the Patriots? How the Patriots are a nonprofit?
Well, even hospitals are nonprofit.
No, did you know the New England Patriots are a nonprofit?
NFL teams. Yeah. I think as long as people get salaries in a nonprofit, I think as long as the whatever monies are made are going back into the company, back into the service of what the organization is doing, that's a nonprofit. You know, there's not shareholders. It's not, we have to make as much money as we can so that we can pay out dividends. It's all poured back into the
hospitals
organization.
Hospitals do that. Hospitals. Colleges. Yeah. Sometimes they give it back to their employees.
But most hospitals are profit, for profit.
No, they're nonprofit.
They're nonprofit, but they make huge profit.
Oh, yeah.
well, the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's a thing.
Yes.
But
they go back into the running of, like, colleges do that. Sometimes they go back into the employees. I remember working, you got a check sometimes. It was just random. Look at the hands going.
There's a lot of parameters, a lot of hurdles you have to jump or kind of to fit into, either educational purposes or humanitarian, religious, things like that. So if their government says they're nonprofit, they're...
It's interesting.
Well, I do have a question as well. Mm-hmm. For example, when they say they're going to use source from local suppliers.
Who's growing the marijuana?
I didn't know anybody was growing marijuana.
Well, I thought that was they were going to build the building using local contractors and...
Suppliers, it says here.
It said suppliers, I thought.
Yeah.
Or is that
utilize Cape Ann area suppliers, but maybe the development will utilize Cape Ann area suppliers. Maybe in.
I guess. I don't know. I could be.
It's interesting. That's a good question. Then you have to go to the meeting.
Yeah.
My take on this is that I don't really know because I don't know. I'm not like completely obsessed with marijuana and because a lot of marijuana people can tell you everything about marijuana. I'm not one of those people, but But my gut tells me that to have a dispensary, there is probably an incredible list of checks and balances mm-hmm. to make sure everything is going properly. I really don't, especially in the state of Massachusetts, the Puritan state, you know, like that. You know that they'd just be itching to shut these people down if they felt that there was malfeasance.
So needless to say, you can't grow it on your porch. They're probably having people.
No dispensary.
They are going to grow it themselves.
I don't know. I think
well, they probably have
dispense.
Some,
So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to grow it, but
if
dispensary.
They're dispensing it, they're growing it somewhere else, probably.
But they know who, you know, they're their suppliers. It's not.
Well, I don't want to.
You know. Questions will be answered on the 27th.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's an interesting
and I think, you know, my first initial reaction was, oh, it's, you know, it could be trouble and that type of thing. Then it occurs to me, you know, for other far more harmful. Substances. Walgreens is a dispensary.
Yeah.
Right. Every apothecary and pharmacy is a dispensary of something that's for medicinal purposes. So
cigarettes and alcohol, in a way, are more gateway drugs because you need more and more of those, as opposed to marijuana, where people just get a buzz and then, you know, that's pretty much it. But with cigarettes, you typically need to smoke more. With alcohol,
that's a good point.
But I think with this dispensary, it's the medical, like for glaucoma, cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
So you most likely might have to have a prescription. I don't know.
You don't just you don't
just
walk in there. Not this. Not we're not at that level.
No,
in the United States yet.
Well, I know the governor just sent a team over to Colorado to investigate how
it's working out.
How it's working out.
Is it so? You don't need a prescription in Colorado. You can just buy a pot. Stores.
Yes, pot stores. Yes, they do.
And that's where the Girl Scout cookies were most sold, in front of that dispensary. They sold most Girl Scout cookies.
That's a good little add-in right there, Donna. That's why we have you here. Yeah.
Useless information.
I don't want to go too far for a joke, but if they just had it a week earlier, it might have attracted the marijuana crowd. So it would be on 420 instead of 427.
Oh, there you go. The time.
That's the two people who got that.
I got that. 4:20 is the international time where the pot people, like, oh, it's 4:20. It's time to toke up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right?
In the amount of THC or 4:20 is some number that's associated with marijuana. So the day and the time. And
Rick just exposed himself.
I watch about that much sitcom TV.
He just exposed himself
to link some pop culture. And I thought about it. I didn't know enough about it to be funny enough.
You were pretty funny. So this week, Mayor Safathia Romeo Thekin announced her new art hotline.
What an awesome idea!
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. There's some cool.
I responded to the St. Peter's one.
All right, hold on. Let me explain it a little bit. Mayor Romeo Thekin opens an email for arts and culture. Together, we're going to connect what we have with what we need. Use your phone to email directly to the mayor. This is a web press release. Sefatia, forarts@gmail.com. And the four is the number four. Sefatia4arts@gmail.com. Add your name to sign up sheets that are happening now. So she has there's all these different initiatives. Is free studio space music to your ears? Will it urge you back to the drawing board? Something to write home about? I don't know who wrote this. Did she write this? help you paint 1,000 words? Knit your brow? Make you an old soft shoe? I can't see here. So...
Catherine Ryan write it.
probably right. So they're talking about the city of Gloucester will be offering free shared space at the Fitzhenry Lane House during the day in month blocks. Email a subject line. Public. There's different. All these different things. Do you want to talk about some of the other ones?
Well, the one that really struck a chord with me was Safati has had this dream to turn St. Peter's Square into like a real Italian or European square, and So during the block parties, they're thinking about opening that up to going along with that concept and see. I think it'll probably be like an experiment to see how it works out. I think it would be wonderful if they had something like that.
Yeah, during the block.
With little cafe tables and mm-hmm. chairs.
Open air market.
Open air market. Yeah. Little carts selling flowers.
She said the idea is a local market by residents for residents. There'll be tables and chairs to hang out, pick up some local fish and lobster, crafts, flowers and vegetables during the day, at night, sit and relax, have some coffee, listen to soft music, email if you want to join the planning or have questions. So there's a couple other initiatives that she outlines here too. I'll link to the post on Good Morning Gloucester in the show notes if you go to the blog to find out about that. So that's very interesting to me. Bananas Fashion Follies, which is this coming weekend.
Yeah.
On Sunday, the doors open at 2:30. I think the Saturday show is sold out.
It is sold out.
So they always try to push the Sunday show, which is a much less expensive. Sunday, the doors open at 2:30 p.m., and the show will include pick a prize auction and light refreshments. Tickets are $35 each for adults, $15 for people 18 years and under. The tickets are on sale at Bananas, Alexandra's Bread, and online at Eventbrite. For more information, please contact bananasfashionshow@gmail.com. I've gone to this a couple times with my children.
Yeah.
They only do it once every 2 or 3 years.
Right.
I think it's 3 years.
I don't think they do it every year. Yeah.
Right, and it's a spectacle.
It's funny.
It's fantastic.
And it's all top secret, too. Like,
you don't know what these things are going to be.
It's a
fantastic show, and I hear through the grapevine that our Madam Mayor will be appearing.
I hope that wasn't supposed to be a secret.
No, it's not a secret, but it's not a secret, but what she's doing is secret.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Very cool.
She's making
it's
an
fun.
I'm picturing fan dancing.
Yeah. Flamenco?
Perhaps. Yeah.
I like it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
It is a great take. If you haven't gone before, Richard Leonard, this is his, one of his give backs to the city, the planning. He goes to Florida. He brings back a ton of props and outfits and stuff for his banana rats. A lot of these banana rats been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
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 We hosted a video.
I was a banana rat before I lived here.
You were?
How many
years ago was that?
Oh, when I lived in Boston, a friend of mine had a vintage clothing shop.
So that was before you had children?
Yeah, before I had children.
So you're talking about over 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was fun. But it wasn't with the fashion show. We did a fashion show at Richard's shop.
Yeah.
I was going to say something. Oh, Richard is an amazing artist.
He is.
What kind of art? Paint?
Well, did you know he was an art teacher for about 10 years? And then he opened Bananas as sort of like a summer.
Down on Rocky Neck, right? It was the original ones. Well, I think it was down on Rocky Neck.
He had a branch on Rocky Neck. I don't know if that was later. I don't know if there was the original one. I don't know that.
Okay.
But and then it just took over. He was so successful that it became full-time for him. He stopped teaching and has been doing Bananas ever since.
You look at his windows. Yeah. They're just fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the store on Bass Ave, right? I remember going by and seeing parking for Bananas only.
Yeah.
And as a 10-year-old kid, that cracked me up.
Yeah.
Still does. Who am I kidding?
Parking for Bananas only. I love it. Donna, you're 1 hour at a time, gang. You just keep adding people. People want to be a part of this.
It's taking on legs.
Yeah.
As a,
legs.
Legs.
Yeah.
You just get your yellow bags.
Bag. Yep.
You'd be awesome.
Legs and bags.
Every week we go out, and I went out actually yesterday as well, but it's just more and more people want to join.
Mm.
I get emails all the time.
The premise is Saturday mornings, 1 hour at a time.
We just find a spot, and we try to clean up. And at the same time, people are seeing us do this. So maybe they will think about their own neighborhoods in front of their own stores. And this week we're going to be near Doyen's.
Mm-hmm.
We're, just kind of cleaning up around there. The parking lots get really nasty.
Yeah,
not theirs in particular,
in the
but some of the parking lots have just been not pretty.
When we say Doyen's, it's over by the train station.
Yeah,
because some people, you know, in their minds may be thinking down by St. Peter's Park.
But right. It's the one on Washington Street.
Yeah.
Okay. And we start at 8. I have bags. I always encourage people to bring their gloves. Mm-hmm. And even little kids come.
Do you guys have a website
or
a Facebook page?
I have a Facebook page, the 1 hour at a time gang.
Okay.
I put it up on Good Morning Gloucester. Went up this morning.
Right.
And I get a lot of people email me back and say, could you add me to your distribution list? And that's what we've been doing. I mean, my distribution list started with 5.
Wow.
Now it's probably 30, 40.
That's tremendous.
And people just, their kids 7 years old, and there's people in their 80s.
Speaking of community involvement, doing picking up and stuff, Rick, do you do that program still?
The clean team.
Yeah.
We just got notice that we got funding from the city again. So there'll be a teenager jobs program this summer, cleaning up downtown and surrounding areas, pulling weeds, painting, that type
of thing. They
water. Watering.
Is that through the YMCA, Camp Spindrift?
It's through the YMCA.
Yeah.
I don't run it. I don't oversee it anymore. I did years ago. A gentleman named Brian Flynn. Our operations director oversees it now, and it's through CDBG federal money to pay salaries for the kids and get materials and all that type of thing.
I love
and
it.
For a lot of kids, it's their first job experience, and so it works out really well.
I love watching them go to the bank with their checks. It's like their first job. And
it is so great on so many different levels. Like, they wear the shirts, so they're very visible in the community. And just like Donna, just like your crew, you should get shirts, by the way.
I know.
That would be great. Yeah. But you know what?
Or aprons.
I'm going to, good morning, out of my budget, Good Morning Gloucester budget, I'm going to pay for T-shirts for the 1 hour at a time gang.
Joe, you're an awesome
man. That'd be awesome. Yeah, but because you should do it, because you should be recognized. So, but anyway, the clean team, on so many levels, it's so awesome. Like these kids... work experience. You see them. They're down on their knees picking weeds a lot of times, watering the flower boxes downtown, showing community civic pride, and getting paid. I mean, it's really awesome.
And then they're going to turn around as adults knowing that they have that same pride.
Oh, it just...
It regenerates.
That's the kind of thing, the gift that kind of exponentially grows. And whoever the person is, I think I've said this in the past, that green lights this, that gets the money, whatever it is, huge kudos to them, huge kudos to the Y and the guy that's running.
That would be the City of Gloucester Mayor's Office and the Community Development Department.
I love the Community Development Department has only gotten better and better. And this is another theme that we keep bringing up all the time. Like, it seems like the city of Gloucester has gone from a culture of saying no to everything and fighting battles to stop stuff to a culture of yes. Let's see what we can do. Like, a perfect example, the mayor's arts hotline. Let's open up this spot, that spot for the community to enjoy. And it's just, I love it. I love it. Every part about it.
Agreed.
I love seeing the kids out there, though. I just think...
Yeah,
so
we're gonna get some T-shirts going, Donna. You pick the color.
Okay.
All right.
Remind myself.
We're gonna do a little restaurant news. We always kind of bring that in. I went to AJ's at the Harbor I think Tuesday I was there. Last Tuesday.
Was it the day they opened?
It was like the first day of their soft opening or something like that. I went with Kate. And we had a fantastic meal. We both agreed that all the ingredients were top. So they had, for her son Connor, they had a chicken wing, chicken tenders.
Okay.
And you know how you can go and there's different grades of chicken tenders? Like these were like real chicken breast tenders,
Nice.
And
you're
fried
giving your kids something really nutritious.
You're not giving them pressed chicken parts.
Separated.
Yes,
yeah,
not
right.
diced
not
and pressed, it, glued together parts of well, God only knows what. I got the cottage pie, which was a take on a
shepherd's
pie. And literally, it was served in this big, heavy ceramic dish. That round, that thick. There was no chance I was gonna finish it, but it was so tasty. What did Kate get? God, I forget what she got. Okay, but the highlight of the meal was their signature. I don't know if it's a signature, but they had these tater tots on skewers, drizzled with some type of like remoulade and like scallions or something. It was.
Sounds yum.
I didn't need to, like, I the size of the entree, really, the tater tots, but everything we ordered was great. The prices were reasonable, and we wish them the best of luck.
It was a tot kebab, pretty much.
That's right. They had a word for it, but I
that's probably not it. So AJ's on the Harbor, for people who don't know, is where La Rose is.
Yeah. The old Mooters.
Everyone over 50, Mooters.
Yeah.
That's right. And at the lights on Bass Ave. And
yeah. They're very active on their Facebook page. It's AJ's at the Harbor. You would think on the Harbor, but it's at the Harbor.
Well, you know what? When I went to Pauline's last week, people had just come from there.
Yeah.
And they were raving about
it. They said it was good.
So, you know.
It's really kind of like American comfort kind of food, but everything they're doing is they're doing really well. Yeah. And the renovation they did was very, very tasteful. Right. It's kind of like a nautical theme, but not a cheesy nautical theme. Okay. It's very tastefully done. So kudos to them. Thursday.
Can I just go back from one question? What was Mooters? What was Mooters?
You were not here when Mooters was here? Mm-hmm. Mooters Liquor Store was right where AJ's store? Was.
Oh, okay.
Right. Really?
Yes, really.
Yeah, I didn't know you were that fresh to the Gloucester scene. Jeez, when do you think the Mooters, Rick? How long do you think that was?
I don't know.
10, 15 years?
Oh, more than that, I think.
Oh, no, because I've been here 12.
Yeah.
And probably, you don't remember?
I remember the La Rose's.
Huh?
80s, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, because we moved here in the 90s.
Time flies.
I don't think it was there.
I'm surprised. Yeah, wow. That's interesting. Okay, good. The Rudder opens this Thursday. Today's Wednesday.
Thursday.
Rudder opens. I don't know when this is going to air, but Rudder is opening this week. Do you know when it's going to air, Lisa?
Next week sometime.
Oh, next week. Okay, so the Rudder already opened. okay, so when this airs, probably the studio is going to open, and I think they're doing half off everything, including sushi and $1 oysters. But
Going tonight. Here we are. We're going tonight.
Well, it's not open tonight. Today's Wednesday.
Today's Thursday.
Today's it's open today, but you went. By the time you see this, it'll be next week. Sorry. So for the podcast listeners that are listening on air, the Rudder's open this weekend. Half off everything, including sushi, $1 oysters. It's a total no brainer. Studio will be opening next week.
Yes, that's true.
And I'm sure they're probably going to do a similar promotion. Donna, you posted the cupboard.
I was so excited when I saw that open.
That got a ridiculous amount of shares and views. I mean, people were just over the top about
it. Funny, and I was just pulling down this. And they said, oh, it's finally open because I've been watching them.
It's nice to see. And we should, our condolences to Grover, who was the owner, who passed. The family's still coming back and opening this year.
It was really nice to see that open sign.
Yeah.
Orange Leaf opened today?
Yep. Did they have a grand opening thing? Because they didn't send me a press release.
I saw the sign this morning.
Oh, okay.
News on Orange Leaf, they're getting rid of the scales. There's people that complained about how you get your yogurt and then you load your stuff in. By the time you get up there, it's like, oh, it weighs 8 pounds or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I know I got an 8-pound yogurt, I'm just saying. Yeah. You know? So that's flat pricing for put on toppings, whatever you want.
Whoa.
That's the shift this year. Brian Parisi,
who was a ref at Bikini Speedo Dodgeball.
Yeah, Dodgeball Tournament is the general manager over there for this season. And so we have to go down and say hey to Brian.
Yeah. Brian, who's a key in the dodgeball tournament this year, was the elevated level of officiating.
Oh.
There was no complaints. Everything went smoothly, and it made the tournament that much better. And great thanks to Brian and how good a job he did. Lobster Pool is open on weekends through April. Top Dog in Bearskin Neck is open. Topside Grill is open. All seasonal openings. I don't know if we missed it. We probably missed anybody, but
Holy
any
Cow.
Of these.
Huh? Holy Cow opens up this week, I think.
Holy Cow?
I think right? Lobster Land.
And they've got proceeds.
Oh, donating all, like 100% of their proceeds.
Proceeds
right?
for three. I believe it's, I'm going to get it wrong, Randy Burns, another referee who's had some health issues to go help for him. and I should remember the other two, but I didn't look it up. I think Animal Aid and Open Door, maybe.
I think it's great that all of a sudden you see this, like, it's like a blooming flower.
I'll be happy when I see the green, the more green, the trees all green, too.
The sailing club's been out there, too, so that's another sign of spring.
Yeah. Any?
You're right, Lobsterland is opening.
Yeah, Lobsterland.
Yeah. Open or opening?
Opening this weekend.
This weekend.
Opening this weekend.
Yeah, so they've huge banner.
Yeah.
Any restaurants that are opening, send in your press releases to us, and we'll get them on the blog. Friends of ours, new contributor, Catherine Ryan's sons, Charles
and George.
And George. You want to talk about this?
Yes. It's very exciting. They have been fundraising. They have a You Caring site. And they've been fundraising for the Civil War coat worn by a former Gloucester High School principal. And his name is Albert Batchelor. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, because it's not really spelled like Batchelor.
Right.
But so the boys just found out that they're the semifinalists in the Awesome Gloucester Award category.
Rick, you're involved in that, aren't you?
I am. I'm one of the trustees for Awesome Gloucester. So the pitch night will be at the Gloucester House.
Monday night,
the...
This Monday.
18th?
It's
Monday night, the 18th.
Yeah, it's Patriots Day.
Oh, fitting.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that is fitting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the high school, the Gloucester High School teacher, this the bachelor, Albert Batchelor, he
wore
1883 to 1913.
Right.
He was wearing this. And do you know the story? Do you want me to read the story?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I'll read the story. So during the Batchelor's Great Escape from Libby Prison in Richmond, Virginia, one of the slave families that helped gave him shelter and his coat. As he trekked through enemy lines, he used the coat to cover his military uniform so as not to get recaptured. Perhaps this was the Underground Railroad at work. He made it safely to an all-black unit, the 8th United States Colored Cavalry. The coat has been infected with mold. Parent Kim Minah saw the mold at the high school in its case and said, "It was hidden. I felt it should be restored and shown again to show that it's not just a few people that care." These are Catherine's sons, George and Charlie's words. "To show that it's not just a few people that care, we are in middle school and we're writing this page. With a little luck, it will hopefully be cleaned and saved by the time we're in high school. Wouldn't it be great if the coat was displayed on an electronic Lazy Susan table so you could see the whole coat? Actually, we would like a hand crank, maybe more. We are writing this You Caring page so those of you at home and on computers can donate for the coat. If you'd like to send a check, you can mail it to the Gloucester Fund and put in parentheses, Civil War Coat, 45 Middle Street, Gloucester, Mass., 01930. And so we'll have a link to this in the show notes.
It's tremendous. The boys are so enthusiastic about the project. They have done so many outreaches. They outreach to, I think a historical society contacted them. I think it was the historical society, this history group that contacted them and presented them with a check a couple weeks ago.
And they were on the trails and sales. They had the whole information at City Hall.
Oh, yeah.
They had the whole information there, which is...
They're just very, those boys are going places. They're
good kids.
They are really
good
kids.
Wish I could tell
them
apart. But
also,
I can't either.
I think because of their mom's, you know, tremendous commitment to the community, they've been going with her to every community event.
Oh, they're at Cape Ann Museum. They're everywhere.
Yeah,
those
everywhere.
Kids are everywhere. Yeah, and that's great.
And they never look bored. They are always engaged and enthusiastic. It's really just, you know... Those are great parents, Catherine and her husband.
Yeah, so kudos to them.
Yeah.
Look for the link if you'd like to donate on the blog. I found this interesting. I'm obsessed with, I had a big house. I had a 4,000 square foot house. I don't have a big house anymore, and I don't ever want to have a big house anymore. Does anybody watch the Tiny House Show on, I don't know if it's Lifetime TV or anything? Do you watch that? Do you ever see those books with
websites of tiny houses?
Does it interest you at all?
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
Fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Is it fascinating?
I think it's really.
I think everybody, like, with how much bills and real estate taxes and electricity and fuel costs and everything, I think it's probably a trend where people are like, the getting off the grid fantasy that probably a lot of us have. So this show is, so they had they have this commercial. And at the end, they show a guy living in on a hammock outside of one of these tiny houses that they, you know, did. And the byline is "Tiny House Hunters Redefining the Definition of Success." Right. And you know what I mean? Like, I thought that really struck home.
Yeah.
You know, like back in the 80s when we were growing up, like the big thing was the guy that dies with the most toys wins.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, like, and over time, as we get older and a little bit more wise, we realize that it's not about stuff.
Right.
And stuff can actually, like, bog you down.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And I also think this whole, you know, generation coming up, too, is more in tune to that, too. I think they saw their parents, and it isn't the same path that they perhaps want to go down.
Well, they saw their parents during, like, some of the 90s when the recession was there. In 2008, kids who were just like entering college, they saw how some of their parents suffered and lost a lot of money. So it's a different thing. It's not that gluttony.
I don't think they put as much. I think they're wise in the way that they don't put this huge emphasis on working like the way I work, like 100 hours a week. And they like this whole thing of like the defining success isn't necessarily money. Monetarily, it's more like you're having time with your family, being able to do things,
being content,
finding a balance.
Yeah,
right. Being content.
Content.
Right.
I mean, I hear people sometimes say, "I want," and I want to go smack, smack, smack. It should be just what you need, not necessarily what you want. I mean, be content, be happy.
Jack Kerouac, you know the famous saying by Jack Kerouac: "If you own a rug, you own too much." Did you ever hear that? I think that's very interesting. I mean, that's an extreme case, but I think it's pretty interesting.
Because you end up having all this stuff, and then what does it do for you?
Then your kids and grandkids get to have a yard sale when you go.
Yeah. Or they're going to curse you for having to hire a dumpster.
The boys from the Homie Cast, we've been batting around the idea of getting of buying like a big old used Winnebago or something like that we can take and go on road trips to like sporting events and festivals and stuff. Why is that so strange to you, though?
I just think it's so funny seeing you in a Winnebago.
Why?
With all the, I think it would be fun.
Camper, and I did do that once. I crossed country.
You're taking it all the wrong way. You're talking about thinking that we're going to go to like in sleep in tents. No, we're talking about going to festivals asphalt, and we can barbecue.
Shower.
You know,
barbecue.
Barbecue.
Rolling barbecue unit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good term.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No, I think that. Because I don't see
I find it interesting because
you mistook me as going to
Alaska and stuff.
Yeah, going into the woods and playing with bears and stuff. No. Not going to happen.
I don't see you playing with a cat.
Yeah, no. Not so. So I went to Marty Luster's doing a Good Morning Gloucester movie. He just started interviewing people for it and stuff. And so I went to his house, and he's got this dog, right? The dog.
Beast, Lucy, the beast.
Have you seen the dog?
Oh, my gosh, she's such a beast.
The dog wouldn't shut up.
That big.
The dog would not shut up. The dog was yapping and yapping and yapping and yapping. So they gave say, oh, yeah, here, you give her the little treats and they'll calm her down. I gave her the treats. The dog didn't calm down. The dog kept yapping and yapping, like jumping on me and stuff.
She's that big.
No, she's not that big. She's like that big.
Oh, you bring the excitement to the room, you know?
So I think she smelled the fear. I think she smelled
the
fear. Smelled
the lobster.
Something like that.
Yeah, could be.
Or the barbecue remnants.
That's what made her probably go off. She smelled
Did you go barbecue. Over after one of the barbecues that you've been having?
You know something?
One of your 45 girls?
It was the next morning after barbecue, but I was wearing the same jeans, so I probably had the smell.
Because
the charcoal gets all up in your business.
Yeah.
Yeah, grilled meat.
Grilled meat.
That ferocious dog was just
ferocious.
After the meat.
Just I mean, the dog's a pain in the ass, though. You know what I mean? Like, you just, I can say ass, right? They're pain in the butt because, you know, you can't just have a conversation. The dog's like interrupting you the whole time.
See, but like, in our community, our we have our little dog walkers, and I know so many kids now and have so many little neighborhood friends now because of our dog.
Dogs.
And they come over to walk her every day and drink hot chocolate, and we just...
My kids keep saying they want me to get a dog. I'm like, yeah. I know they're not going to take care of it. There's zero chance they're ever going to take
and
care of it.
You know what'll happen, Joe? You'll become so attached.
No, it's not going to happen.
Start with a hamster.
Yeah.
So I did with Andrew. You wanted a dog, and I said, yeah, I take care of a dog. I'll take care of it. I'll get you a hamster. Do I have a minute to tell the story?
No, go ahead.
Right? So he's like 6 years old, right? Doesn't take care of the hamster. The cages are messed. I'm like, hey, are you going to take care of it? He says, it's not my hamster, it's all of ours.
Oh, right. He just the kiss of death.
So I had to say,
there's
Oliver.
No dog.
It's not Oliver's. And he goes, who's Oliver? I'm like, Oliver's the kid that lives under the sink. He was here before you moved in with your mom. So for a while, because the pipes all rattle and clink and all that, he kind of cautiously go over to the sink. So every once in a while, when he'd go stay with his dad and his stepmom, I'd leave notes around the house, you know, Andrew, I hope you enjoyed playing with my toys. Love Oliver, you
That's
know,
awesome.
Things like that. So it was always the other kid who was staying at the house when he wasn't there. It was Oliver.
Tremendous.
So he still gets notes every once in a while. He's 18.
That's awesome.
So I still like, you know, he uses Christmas talk and there's something in there from Oliver.
That's really
good.
That was great.
So it wasn't Oliver's hamster. It was Andrew's hamster.
Oliver.
Yeah.
That's, you get attached to hamsters. Story.
So I'm saying, get them started with a hamster. If they take care of them, let them work their way.
Hamsters are great.
Let them work their way. And if they don't, then you know.
They killed a goldfish in 2 days.
These
kids managed to kill a goldfish in 2 days.
Goldfish just, you either get one that's going to last 10 years or you get one that's going to die in a day. I mean, they are really, you just don't know.
It depends on the water and the oxygen level.
And it's just, you know, but hamsters are, we had hamsters. I love the hamster. Hamster's fascinating to watch.
Oh, yeah. So, thrill. What a thrill.
Yeah. Or gerbils. You can get gerbils.
Gerbils, white mice.
Alex had a gecko for a while.
Oh, geckos.
Oh, God. Anyway, all right. Speaking of animals, in this past 2 weeks, I have noticed 4 separate turkeys smushed on the road.
Oh,
in different
sad.
Locations yeah, in 2 weeks. Has anybody noticed a lot of turkeys around lately?
Yeah, yes. Well, they're,
dead turkeys?
They're mating.
They're in their full courtship mode right now.
Oh.
So they're
strutting.
This beautiful display.
Trying to get there.
They're distracted and don't see the cars coming.
That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, they're heading the clouds because they're all filled with...
Especially the males are all like, look at me, I am beautiful.
The toms.
And
see,
really
Tom's
not.
A boy turkey.
Yeah. They were going after my tires the other day. I was pulling out of the driveway. I'm like, really?
What?
Did they think the cow was going to get the female turkey?
No, they see they see their reflection in the
so they
in
think
the
it's
silver rims,
they think it's
and they
competition.
Think it's competition.
Yeah.
So that's why they peck.
But I like them. I think they're funny.
I think they're beautiful. I'm obsessed with them right now.
Yeah.
I think all. I mean, it's. I think the recurring theme for Good Morning Gloucester is the.
Birds.
The incredible amount of different species of birds that are around that weren't around 15 years ago.
Right. Well,
how fast like that change has happened.
Yeah.
I think a lot has to do with the cleaning up of Gloucester Harbor.
It's cleaning up, but it's also climate change because as the equator becomes the warmer and warmer, more species are moving towards the middle. So we are going to kind of, in a way, we're going to kind of benefit from global climate change as far as having more species come into our
Well, the
area,
egrets so. Were on endangered at one time because they used to kill them for the feathers, for the hats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The
and
plumes.
That law went into effect in the early 1900s.
Yeah, and now they are spectacular. They're beautiful.
The white ones.
Yeah. They're
gorgeous. I mentioned this to Kim this morning that I was driving into town and there was 4 of them right in the marsh right in front of Friendly's. Yeah.
I've been seeing
a lot of egrets lately.
Yeah, they're back.
And that was one of the species that I don't.
Recall.
15 years ago, I don't remember seeing an egret.
Right.
I mean, did you?
Well, they were endangered. So.
No, it was a rare find.
Yeah.
Right.
It was, you know.
And now
like
you see
finding a razor clam shell on the beach. You know, I guess years ago they'd be more plentiful. And now if you find one,
it's,
you know, it's kind of like, whoa, what is this? And it's kind of you have to search a little bit more. Horseshoe crabs. I haven't seen horseshoe crabs in. God knows how long, but they used to be.
Used
so
to
this is just now the opposite. The egrets used to be, you can't ever find one, and now they're pretty common.
Yeah.
Clock Pond has them all the time.
They where did you take those photos of the glossy ibis?
That was a Clock Pond.
Was it Ibis?
Ibis. That was at Clock Pond.
Those are great photos.
And I look for them, and I haven't seen them this year yet. It might be a little early.
Well, Kim was saying that right now there's a lot of migrating.
There's a lot of migration going on.
But when it started to get really, really cold, I was like, I was worried about the little egrets. Yeah. You know, because a lot of them are on Kettle Island now.
They seem to have stayed longer this year than usual. The herons and the egrets, they all seem to have stayed longer. But, you know, they know what they're doing.
They're there through
the
summer.
Speaking of this, I meant to bring this up the other day, and I didn't, but... this is what I find an interesting question. Well, you got to take a pick now. Hey, I was listening to the Weather Channel, one of the weathermen, and they were talking. It was on the radio, and they was talking about how in an El Nino year we don't get a lot of snow, but we also generally get the kind of a spring that we've been having: rainy, cold, damp, extended, unsettled weather. For a good amount of the spring is not the sunny, dry ones. And inversely, if you get, like we got hammered last year with the snow, and then it was like they flipped the switch, and that the spring was warm, sunny, and dry.
Well, we also had a cold, spring took a long, long time last year. It came in really late.
So question is, dry spring, unbelievable amount of snow, or not a lot of snow and a rainy, cold, damp spring. What do you take?
Well, I'll tell you, I love the first choice. I loved all the snow we had last year. But my real preference is for the El Nino winter springs, because when we have a warm winter and a relatively mild spring and then a warm summer, we get way more species of butterflies and way more butterfly population. So I'm really hoping that...
Everything comes down to the butterflies. It doesn't matter what it was going to be. It was going to be the butterflies are going to dictate her answer.
But it's such a short season anyway, and then we might get a really phenomenal monarch migration too, because when we have the winds coming from the west to the east, that helps bring the monarchs in our direction. So
once again, comes down to whatever. How about you, Donna? Donna, which would you rather out of the two different scenarios?
I like the snow too.
So you like the snow, and then a sunnier spring.
Spring, and then last summer was exceptional. But I think it doesn't really. The weather doesn't bother me.
So it's not a big thing either way.
But spring is very fickle.
But based on those two options, you would say you would rather.
I like the snow. See, I like the snow.
You like the snow.
I think the snow is healthy.
And Rick, where do you come down?
I think what happened last, seemed to have very few greenheads and mosquitoes at camp. So if that was a result of lot of snow and a dry spring, then I'm all for a lot of snow and a dry spring.
Interesting.
Down to insects again.
Different, you know. Different species. Not as beautiful as the butterflies.
Less irritating.
And although, there's also, if you notice, I'm walking the boulevard, and so at low tide, just past between the statue and the tavern, at low tide, there was like 20 to 30 yards of sand between the wall to the beach. And I don't remember, there's a lot more sand, it seems, in Gloucester Harbor beaches, unless over in Rockport at like Long Beach and Pebble or Old Garden Road there. So I think what I'd learned is that if the storms, the snow, the big storms come early in the winter, that's when all the sands kind of get whipped away from the beaches. And then October to January normally is when the sands are taken away. And then the milder storms, the less intense storms in February onward, right through until next October, are when the sands get replenished. But if those storms come later in the winter, February, March, April, the more intense storms take the sand away, and they don't have time to rebuild back up. So that's why you'll see rocks that Cressy's Beach at Stage 4 was all rocks, and now it's all sand. You know, it's just an amazing.
That Cressy's Beach, like it's one or the other. It seems like sometimes, like some springs, you go down there, and like all rocks like that big, all rounded over rocks, and then sometimes it's like beach.
Yeah. Last year, the rocks were...
I thought the hotel must have been trucking in sand. But they're just fortunate that Mother Nature's dropping it there for them.
Interesting.
Because you can see there's still a sandbar off of Magnolia.
Yeah.
And they take out a lot of sand. The sandbar is much more prevalent out there. It's really
So there's something else I wanted to get to, which I found Kim brought this to my attention, that male birth control is working on rabbits and humans are next. There is this Vasel gel, a reversible injection, blocked sperm in preclinical trials in rabbits. Male birth control pills have shown efficacy in animals, and they say that they're closer to
It's not a pill.
I'm going to explain it.
Okay.
We're closer to viable male birth control, but a human version is still years away. So what they do with the bunny rabbits, they inject the testes with this Vasagel, and it blocks the flow of sperm after it's injected into the vas deferens, the duct that brings sperm from the testes to the urethra. They say it's too early to celebrate. The polymer injection is in preclinical trials and has only been successfully administered to 12 rabbits. Still, the results, which were released last month, are promising. So here's the thing. It's a gel that blocks the sperm, is what they're saying.
Right, and they inject it.
And they inject it.
Yeah. So, but my question was, like, do you think men will take will want to take the responsibility for the birth control in that way?
I'm gonna start, and then I'll defer to Rick.
Okay.
I don't want injections into my vas. What do you call those? The vas deferens. I'm not all about that. Secondly, they're saying it's got to block the flow of the sperm.
Right.
So it's gonna be a barrier. It's gonna be a gel barrier or something like that. I don't when you're talking about bringing life into the world, I don't trust a blockage of a gel, because gel to me is permeable.
Do you know how they reverse it? They suck it out. They inject a sodium bicarbonate into it, which flushes it out.
The fact of the matter is. So I got a couple years ago, I got a vasectomy, and it's the best thing I've ever. So nowadays, like, you go in, you can elect to have the laughing gas or something, and
you don't even feel the shock.
Like, I took a little nap for maybe 20 minutes or something, and Kate picked me up, and we went straight to, I had lunch at Halibut Point, and it's a little bit of uncomfortable. It's a little uncomfortable. It's
as if point or the vasectomy.
No, the vasectomy.
Oh, okay.
But like, it feels like, so for a guy, like, I highly, highly recommend it.
But that's permanent, and the gel is a temporary. I'd say the problem with it would be is guys who would tell the woman, "Yeah, I had the gel."
Yeah, right.
Because guys have the ability to walk away from a relationship.
Well,
not that they should, I don't trust my own gender.
I liked having my own control.
If you have the snip job, you're in good shape. You don't have to worry.
You know what it is? Well, I was thinking about this too. Like, for younger people, what's the point? Because to protect yourself from STDs, so people would most likely use a condom anyways.
Yeah, but if you're in a relationship,
it's not going to protect STDs.
Right, it's not going to protect you from STDs.
Yeah, it isn't about that, though. It's more about...
No, but I'm saying, what's the market for it if most young people are you know, if most
market is for people like
me
that have had their kids and they don't want to have any accidents.
Well, I have my tubes tied.
All right.
You know, as soon as needles and injections came around, you got squeamish. That's going to be what most males are going to do.
Right.
And
it has to come out in the pill form.
There you go. I agree. Well, for Kim Smith, Donna Artizzoni, my man Rick Dowsett, and the staff here at Cape Ann TV, I'm Joey Shimataro. Thank you guys for joining us today. We had a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Okay, you just sit. We're rolling credits over this.